Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 73. But what it is, we've been in the Psalms the last couple of services. Amen. Thank you, brother. I love the Psalms. Amen. I love how they speak to me. I trust they speak to you. So let's be praying that God will just touch. Psalm 73. It will be good just to read all these verses. I probably won't do that, but I want to look at verse number 28, and then I'll try to go back and just give you a kind of an ideal outline of what this psalmist is saying, and then I've just got a few things to bring before you tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse number 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It is good for me to draw near to God. I believe we all should say amen right there. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the next few minutes, God, I pray you'll take your workmen and you'll do your will. Thank you for your word. God, speak to us now. God, I pray for anointing. I pray for a touch. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done today, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Before I preach, let me just mention something here. I have failed to tell it. And not trying to conceal it, and I just keep forgetting to tell it. But Aaron has tried out of the church in Albany, Georgia. And so that church voted on him. And so he'll be the new pastor down in Albany, Georgia, Fleeman Baptist Church down there, Fleeman Road Baptist Church. And so y'all pray for Aaron. He'll be going down his first Sunday. It'll be in August the 6th. It'll be his first Sunday down there. And so he's still doing for the college now. Matter of fact, he's at Brother Kyle Price's tonight representing the college over in Somerville. And so he'll do that all the way to August. And then he'll help us in August, too. They won't get to move down there for a little while. They got to find a place to live. And so they're looking at some houses and stuff like that. And so they found one that they like. So pray that God would just help them about that. And so you pray for that situation, that God would just touch and work in Aaron's life and Candace's and Colton. It's about 3.5-4 hours away. And so Miss McCully will be gone all the time. But either than that, we'll be all right. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. Brother Kevin, can you go down and kick the air up here real quick? Okay. Amen. All right. Psalm 73. If we wanted to divide this text up, I would divide it like this. He said, "But it is good." It's a pleasant thing. It's a good thing. Amen. And then all of that, it's a personal thing for me. And then it's a proclamational thing. And it said that I may declare all thy works. You know, there's no way you and I can really be what we need to be for the Lord if we're not close to Him. I'm afraid in our Christian walk and our Christian life, we find ourselves in the first part of this chapter, and I'm going to go there in just a second. We find ourselves looking around at all the circumstances and all the things that are going on around us, and our heart's not close to the Lord like it should be. But when we draw close to it, it's just like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been out in the wild, out in the mountainous areas, and you look at this mountain ahead of you, and you know, you can see the trees, you see that got trees, and you can see it's got rock formations, and you can see that all those things are there. And maybe you can even see to the side of it's a lake or to the side of it's a desert area. But when you get right at the foot of the mountain, you know what, you can tell what kind of trees they are. You don't just see them, you know what kind they are. You can also see the rock formations, and you see how they're formed and what they look like. But you know what you can't see? You can't see the desert. Amen. You can't see the other things around. All you can see is just what's right in front of you in that mountain. And maybe even see some flowers that blooms on the mountain. Amen. At the foot of the mountain. What I'm trying to say is simply this. When you and I get near God and we're close to Him, the other things of the world around us begins to fade away. And we see truly who He is and what He is and what He's like when we're close to Him. I'm afraid of this. I'm really afraid of this. And I say this as kindly as I can tonight, but we're living in probably one of the generation that has the most shallow Christians.
Yep. You're right.
You know, you say, "Preacher, you're putting us down." No, I'm just telling you where we're living. We're living in, we have shallow, we're shallow and shallow in our faith. We're shallow in what we want to do for the Lord. We're weak and we're not able to be what God needs us to be. And so, matter of fact, we might find ourselves like we do in Psalm 73. There's a disturbing problem in verses 1 through 3. He said, for I was envious, verse number 3, for I was envious at the foolish. Now, who in the world would be envious of the foolish? Now, if you're going to call them foolish, you know what that means. Amen? That means they're not very what? Wise. And so why are we going to envy the ignorant? But boy, cannot the devil deceive you and I? Cannot the devil, now help me out now, I'm going to preach fast, we're going to get out early. But if y'all don't help me now, I'll preach for a long time. Amen? But, you know, we realize that the devil puts some fake pictures in front of us. He puts some fake thoughts in our mind, false thoughts in our mind. And he said, for I was envious at the foolish. Amen. Why would we be envious at those that would be foolish? And we see there's a disturbing problem. I believe there's a disturbing problem in our day. And that is the view. That is the concept of you and I as children of God. The concept we take about God. The concept we have about prosperity, the concept we have about faith and about the things of God, the economy of God. Yes. And we've got it all wrong. Amen. So we think only God's good when there's prosperity. What made him look at the foolish? What would make a man look at an unwise man and want to be unwise? Yeah. What would make a man, and well, I tell you what it was, and it's something that it'll blur all our vision. And it's that thing called prosperity. That thing called money. I know it's Wednesday night. Help me out just a little bit. But can I tell you, there was a disturbing problem. Amen. And there's a distorted perception. Look at verse number 4. He said, for there's no bands in their death. The wicked. See, he's saying what he's saying is the wicked, they're always healthy. The wicked is not always healthy. Hey, the wicked dies just like the good man dies. Amen. But yet, I'm telling you, the devil can deceive our view and can deceive our thoughts and can enter into our thinking and cause us to perceive things. And there was a distortion in the perception. And he said, no, look at verse. He said, the wicked, they're always haughty. I mean, he said, look at verse 5. For they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, their pride compasses them about as a chain. And they're haughty. Well, you know what? They're living for now and now. This is all they've got. This is all they're going to enjoy. This is all they're going to have. Amen. Well, then we see, as we look on and some other things here in the text, in verses number 17 to 20, we see this. We see the dawning perception or the place of revelation. He said in verse number 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Now, I know I'm not telling you nothing new tonight, but maybe it should help us just a little bit. And that is to realize that when we come to the house of God, and there's some good things for us to come to the house of God, sometimes our perception is made right. Yes. Priorities are put in order. Yes. The Spirit of God deals with our souls. Amen. And there's a dawning perception is made. That hey, God's going to cast them down. God's going to sweep them away. And God's going to God despises the wicked. Amen. Then we come to the dynamic praise in verses 21 through 28. This is what he says, verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reign. You know what we need? We need God to, that pricking is a moving of the Spirit of God. We need God to prick our hearts. We need God to move in our hearts. We need God to touch us. I mean, most people don't want the Holy Ghost to get a hold of them. The Holy Ghost. You say, oh, you got me scared now. I didn't know the preacher was going charismatic. But no, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, when He gets a hold of you, I mean, when He takes grips of your soul, you'll know it. When He begins to deal. I'm afraid what's happened is because of our perception, because of our shallowness of walking with God, because of us not allowing God to work in our heart, that we've quenched the Spirit of God. We've come to a deaf ear to even when the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts. But may we tender our hearts tonight, just for a minute. May we tender our souls, and may we have a spiritual ear for just a moment, and let the Holy Ghost begin to show us some priorities in our life. Look what he says there, verse 21. Look what he said. He said, thus my heart was grieved. When's your heart been grieved? Because you had the wrong perception of God. Because you had the wrong ideal of what. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy for us to get like it. It's so easy for us to say, hey, this is the way it should be. And if we serve God, this is the way it's going to be. But it's not always like that. One thing in pastoring, and I don't understand this. I don't understand why God raises up one place and lets another place glide along. I don't understand why God chooses to bless a certain group of people. You know, you can look at your church and say, man, we're doing just what they're doing, and we're trying to serve the same God, and we're trying to love people. I don't understand all that. But I do know this. There's a God in heaven that has a reason for all that is being done. I think I've got an idea about this, Brother Steve. I think I've got to understand this a little bit about this. It's why God lets us pastor our first church. Y'all did get that. The first church. A lot of times there's the churches out there, they're called first churches because what they are, they're churches, they're going to train you in some things. They're training ground. Their prayer is, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Their prayer is, Lord, our four, no more. Yep. Amen. Amen. And it's wonderful to see God take a work and do something among churches like that. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is there's different. If I can become personal for just a second. Aaron, of course, you know, he started that church in Chatsworth, and then he's been down in Florida for a little while. But actually, this is really, going to this church is really the first church that's elected him. He's walking into a church that is established. And you know what established means, don't you? Okay, I want to make sure y'all knew what that meant. Yeah, established, you know, established. Front foot. And I trust the Lord to bless him. But you know, Deborah and I were thinking, so because we see past the, if I could put it, we see past the honeymoon. We see past just the, oh, pastor, ooh, yeah, the reality. You know, the bumps in the road. The reality that things are going to, you know, things are not going to work all the things you plan. And so, you know, so he, but you know what? What he has to do? He's going to have to learn just like we learned. There's no other way around it. He's going to have to, and God may do great things. We're praying that God does great things. I ain't got no doubt about that. Yes. Amen? 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 But what I'm saying is, in the midst of God doing great things, there is great burdens. There is great trials. There's, I'm telling you, when God's moving and doing his best, in our, that you don't realize, in those times, sometimes in the pastor's life, that's when he has more tears and more trials and more troubles in his life and in other, just during that time. Amen? I'm saying, just during that time. What I'm trying to say is simply this. We need to realize that everything is not going to smoothly flow to mind. I wonder if you let God prick your heart. Have you let God prick your heart about you? I ain't talking about Susie down here, and I ain't talking about Jimmy over here. I'm talking about you. Isn't it amazing as we sit here tonight, and I know it's the cream of the crop. Amen. This is the only thing it's listening to. Oh, I know it's the cream of the crop, but do you realize, as we sit here, it's so easy for us to straighten other people out and think about how other people should be doing things. And, well, if I was a pastor, this is the way I would do it. Well, if I was a song leader, this is the way I'd do it. If I was their teacher, this is the way I would do it. Hey, jump on board, try it. Amen. Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's so much easier to set. How many of you, I mean, watched a football game from the sideline and figure out all the things they're doing wrong? Amen. How many of you sit there and you watch something, or you at work, you're sitting there looking at, you know, man, if they just let me do that, I could do a whole lot better job, man. And then how many of you in life, you did get to do it, and you found out this is a whole lot more difficult than I thought it was. Amen. Amen. I thought this would be a whole lot easier than what it was. I thought this didn't look near as complicated from back here, looking on, as it did when I got my hands on it and I started trying to do it myself. Amen. How many of us has let God prick our hearts to say, hey, it's not my sister and it's not my brother and it's not nobody, but it's me, oh Lord, in need of getting the right perspective. I'm getting somewhere. I'm hurrying. I'm trying to get there. Then we see the dynamic praise. Look at verse number 23. He said, God holds me. God, I'm not going to read these. Well, I'll go ahead and read. Nevertheless, I am continue with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. God holds me. I'm saying this is good now. I'm not going to preach it because I'm trying to get to where I'm trying to preach. Verse number 24, this is good now. God guides me. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. Verse 25, God captivates me. Look what he said. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Oh, he said, I'm captivated by the Lord. God, you captivate me. And then he said, in verse 26, God strengthens me. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then, of course, verse 27 and 28, God protects me. Well, I've come to my text now, but it's good for me to draw near to God. In drawing near to God, there's some things we draw. When we draw near to God, there's some things that we draw away from when we draw near to God. Let me give them to you. First of all, in doing so, when we draw near to God, we draw away from some things when we draw near to God. When we draw near to God, in doing so, we draw away from ourselves. When we become captivated by Him, when our desire is to Him, Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. So when you get out of the way and realize that you're crucified with Christ, then you realize that He's the lover of your soul. He realized He's the one that gave and paid it all for you. You've been bought with a price. When it all's turned over to you. So when we draw nigh to God, when we draw near to God, guess what happens? We draw away from ourselves. Yes. Can I say in 2017 it would be really good for you and I to die out to self? In 2017, it'd be really good for you and I to die out to self. This world is living for self. Society is living for self. We don't watch it. The things that we do for in religion, we do for self. Yes, sir. If we don't watch it now, amen. It is good for me to draw nigh to God. When I draw nigh to God, I draw away from ourselves. Not only that, when I draw nigh to God, I draw away from the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For that of all the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, if I'm drawing nigh to God, if I'm drawing near to God, I'll draw away from this world. And I'll be more interested in His will for my life. And I will what this world has to offer. I believe it'd be good for us all to be in that place. It'd be good all to take a look, an investigation of ourselves. You know that prodigal son? The Bible says that he wanted all that his father, he wanted all that would come to him. And when he got it, we know he went into the world. And the Bible says when he came to himself. You know where he came to himself? At the very bottom, at the very lowest point he could get in his life. He finally came to himself. And then he was willing to give up. What was there to give up? He wasn't willing. Were he willing to give up the feeding the hogs? Was he willing to give up being a stranger and a citizen? What was he willing to give up? He was willing to die out of his own self. But the breath of those old worldly desires and the worldly things he had when he wanted that money, that was all gone. Those old all those things, Brother Nick, that he thought he could do if he just had what Daddy had, was vain. But now, when he's came to his very lowest point, the world had nothing to offer. But see, what we don't understand, the world had nothing to offer to begin with. The world had nothing to offer to begin with. It was all a mirage. It was all just what he thought he could do. It was just all what he thought he would enjoy. It's what he thought would bring happiness, what he thought would please. And why would you and I have to live a life and go down that road like the prodigal when you and I could draw near to God? And draw. When we do that, we draw away from this world. And every step he was making back to the Father's house, the world was to his back. Yes. Amen. No doubt when he got out of that old hog pen, he walked right by that bar that he'd visit. Amen. Yeah. He walked right by that other place where the friends was at. He kept walking until he finally got back to the Father's house. The world had no attraction for him. Yeah. Amen. So when we draw nigh to God, and God is all that we desire, all that we desire to have, when we're consumed by Him. In verse number 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. When He becomes our all in all. Christ is all I need. When Christ becomes all that we need, we seek and search for Him. We'll deny this world. We'll deny ourselves. The things down here are temporal. The money and all the snares, the pitfalls of this world, it pulls us aside. It wants to rob us of our joy and rob us of our time and rob us of serving God. All that stuff is vanity. Empty. Well, there are some things when we draw closer to when we draw near to God. There's some things that we draw away from. I only have 2 points. And there's some things that we draw near to. And doing when we draw near to God, doing so we draw closer to worship. Hebrews 10:23, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know what we need? We need a fixed heart. A fixed heart is a true heart. We need a firm faith. We need full assurance. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart, a fixed heart, a heart that's fixed on Him. Let us have full assurance, firm faith that we can do what God wants us to do. Quickly, in drawing near to God, drawing closer to Him, we draw near to worship. In doing so, drawing near to God, we go closer to holiness. Isaiah 6:1 said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And the seraphims cried out, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we draw nigh to God, we draw closer to worship. When we draw nigh to God, we draw closer to holiness. When you draw closer to God, He's going to clean you up. going to clean up some things in your life. You say, preacher, I don't understand how this person can walk, and this person can do this, and this person can do that. I can tell you how. They're not drawing near to God. See, everybody's not on the same spiritual plane. Amen. If I can put it this way, everybody's not on all spiritual steps. So when you get saved, then God begins to work in your life, and we begin to, if I can put it this way, just for an illustration, we begin to make steps towards God. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge, then God begins to knock off some rough edges. Just like putting that clay on the wheel, then God begins to work on us. He begins to mold us and make us what we should be. And as He molds and makes us what we should be, we begin. But the progression, it's not like this. Okay, this person's been saved a year, they're to this level. Okay, this boy's been saved a year, they've been saved 2 years, he's to this level. It don't go like that. Now, come on, y'all don't get upset with me. But sometimes somebody gets saved within a year. They pass people who's been saved for 5 and 10 years. And you want, why is God dealing with them about that? And these other people, they've been saved for 15 years and they ain't never quit doing that. Amen. God deals with people in His own ways, you know. God's got different things that He's different vessels that He's trying to make them. Can I try to do some pastoring here for just a second? Don't try to put everybody that comes in this church into your mold. Don't try to make everybody that comes in this church to be just like what you think they ought to be. As a pastor, that's one of the we don't watch it, especially when it's starting off. I thought everybody ought to be a certain way. I found out God's got certain vessels for different things, and they don't have to be in a certain ways that I need to be. I need them to be. Amen. Now, we're supposed to be learning right here, okay?
Yes.
All right? This is learning. That's why we don't put everybody in the same mold. Everybody ain't got to line up to be exactly the way I got it. And just because they don't trough their teeth, they don't have a little dot, the same place I got a little dot, and their livelihood is a little bit different. Hey, if I'm going to be spiritual, you know what I'm going to be? I'm not going to condemn them. If anything, I'm going to pray for them. God will open their eyes and let them see. But God may have something different from them than He has for me. I think we all should go towards holiness. I know that. I understand that. But God's got different people to do different things. Let me just go to my end. If we draw near to God, look at verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. Look what it says. For lo, they that are far from thee shall what? Perish. Now right here, I may be right and I may be wrong. So I'm just telling you right up front. That's pretty honest preaching. When we think here, when we think about if they perish, we're talking about death. But I believe I can make application here. If you and I don't draw nigh to God, spiritually, we perish. Not die and go to hell, but spiritually, we perish in that we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't become what God would desire for us to be. And wouldn't it be sad? And we don't talk much about this in 2017 in this economy that we live in, and where every religion got everybody feeling good. And I hesitate to make mention of it tonight. But can I tell you, don't forget now, the Bible does talk about there is a shelf.
Yes, yeah.
We don't talk much about that no more, do we? But God can just set you on the shelf. I get chills. I'm telling you, cold chills are going over me right now just thinking about God can set us on the shelf. So we don't say much about that, do we? I don't even preach much about it. God can just set us on the shelf. Spiritually perish. Spiritually be a failure. Why? Because we weren't drawn out of God. I want to ask you something. It wouldn't be very, Deborah and I have been married 28 years. If I wanted to hug her, she would, don't touch me. Now, if I'm saying something y'all doing, don't know. I say, I wanted to kiss her. She said, I don't kiss you. Now, I can understand that, because sometimes I'm pretty mean, and I pick on her and do all kinds. Sometimes she gets upset about something. She deserved to be upset. But I'll tell you what, if she kept doing that time, week, day after day, turned into month, kill a relationship. What about God just coming and saying, I want you to draw near to me? And he does these things in our life that should bring us near to him. He brings events in our life and things. You know, even the goodness of God, the Bible said, bringeth repentance. And we just shun him off. No, don't hug me. No, I don't need no kisses, God. Spiritually perish. I don't know about you, but I don't want to perish spiritually. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Can I tell you, it won't be by accident you draw near to God. It won't be by chance. But it'll be by determination. I wonder this night, is there anybody in this building that said, you know what, I've got a desire to draw near to God. I wonder in this building, does anybody have a desire to draw near to God? Now, I'm not trying to fill the altar tonight. My preaching hasn't been trying to do that either. But that's my question tonight. We're standing, our heads are bowed. Would there be a few that would say, you know, I have a desire to draw near to God. I have a desire to draw near to God. Would you like to come and pray? I have a desire to draw near to God. I know all of us can grow. I understand that. But man, that's been my text. That's been what I'm talking about. It is good for me to draw nigh to God. Is there a desire to draw nigh to Him? Amen. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.